Measure Up Podcast, Episode 19. Measure what you should, can, and will. G'day and welcome. I'm Stacey Barr, the Performance Measure Specialist of StaceyBarr.com and your host for the Measure Up podcast. My passion is making it easy and fun for you to meaningfully measure the performance of your organization or business so it can be truly excellent at what it exists to do. In this episode of the Measure Up podcast about measure what you should, can, and will, our feature article is How Many KPIs Do You Need? We'll help Measure Up subscriber Michael answer his question. What questions should I ask managers to help them define their KPIs? And we will finish up with a quick tip to think influence, not control. This episode's theme is actually one that's close to my heart because I've always been someone that loves organization and automation and leverage, which for me is about making the very most from whatever I have so that I'm not wasting time spinning my wheels or doing things that really just don't need to be done. I want balance in my life, as I'm sure you do too, and I know that it's just not going to happen unless I take responsibility for it. So over the years, and there have been many of those years, I've always been learning something about topics like time management or project management or priority management. And I've been learning them from lots of different gurus too, like Brian Tracy, for example. I really like his book called Focal Point. Also Dan Kennedy and his book that I really liked is The No BS Time Management for Entrepreneurs. David Allen as well. He's got some really good stuff too in his book Getting Things Done. Lisa Hanneberg has also produced a nice little book called Focus Like a Laser Beam, which I think so. Well, I like, there's a couple of her books I quite like. The other one is 2 Weeks to a Breakthrough, but Focus Like a Laser Beam is quite good too. And of all people, Timothy Ferris, who's the author of The 4-Hour Workweek. Now, I don't yet have a 4-Hour Workweek, far from it, in fact. But there's been a lot of principles that I've learned in his book and many of the other books as well that haven't been too hard to put into practice, really. But that said, I think my focus more these days is not so much on time management and project management, but more on managing my energy and my attention. I really like that little saying that goes something like, where attention goes, energy flows. And for me, at least that's a major part of the role that a really good strategic plan has. So this year, I've been thinking differently about my strategic planning and using it as a way to very sharply focus my attention. And when my attention's focused on the right things, energy flows toward those things. And it's become more and more important too, because as my business keeps growing each year, more and more new opportunities find their way to me, you know, by email or by just speaking with people and meeting new people. But it's become even more important where my attention goes, just so that I don't get drawn away by these opportunities, away from my strategic priorities. So I've got this filter that I use now for any opportunity, really, and it's called should, can, and will. The should is about asking the question, will this help me achieve my most important goals? So should is about focus. It's where I almost always will go back to my strategic plan, look at my strategic priorities, and, you know, just ask that question, where does this new opportunity fit in here? Does it help me achieve these most important things? You know, there might be the odd occasion, and it hasn't happened yet, but the odd occasion where a new opportunity has come to me that suggests that I should have a different priority in my strategic plan, and that's okay too, but it's always going back to that strategic plan as the starting point to answer that question, should I do this? The next part is can. And this is really about asking the question, is this something that I have a reasonable amount of influence over in order that I could achieve it with excellence? To me, can is about leverage. It's about for the time or the resources that I've got available, if I invest them in doing this, am I going to get a big enough bang for that investment? The final part is will. And will is about asking this question, do I have the passion, motivation and commitment to give my time to this, to achieve it with excellence? It's definitely about passion, but it's also about discipline. It's about taking action toward a new idea. So this should, can and will is a filter that I think can apply to almost anything, and certainly it can also apply to helping you decide what you should measure. The should would then be about asking the question, will measuring this help me achieve an important goal? The can is about asking the question, do I have the ability to measure this to a useful extent? And, you know, if you know me well enough by now, you'll know that I'm not for perfection in performance measurement. I'm definitely for practicality. So the can question here is about practicality. And finally, will. And that's about asking the question, do I have the passion and commitment to do the measuring? Am I going to collect the data? Am I going to regularly report the measure and use it to influence my decision making? The should, can and will philosophy also underpins the topic of this episode's feature article. How many KPIs do you need? You can get the written copy of the podcast's feature article in this episode's corresponding issue of the Measure Up email newsletter. The newsletter gives you additional resources to meaningfully measure what matters, and you can subscribe for free at measureupblog.com. I'm going to share with you my secret formula for the right number of KPIs or performance measures that you truly need so you can stop drowning in the overwhelm. Step 1. Stocktake your current KPIs against your goals. KPIs shouldn't float around unattached to goals. They are evidence of progress toward goals. Get a list of your goals and a list of your KPIs or measures and link them to each other. If everything links to everything, you've gone too far. Focus on linking KPIs or measures to the goals they are the most direct and strongest evidence of. If any KPIs or measures aren't strong evidence of anything, toss them. Step 2. Choose your 3 priority goals. If you only have 3 goals, that's great. If you have more than 3 goals, that's not great. If you expect to achieve any of them with excellence, and why would you aim to achieve a goal without excellence, you have to pare it down to 3. Why? Well, watch the second video on this page, tinyurl.com/3goals. That's tinyurl.com/threegoals. You can move on to the other priorities after you achieve your 3 WIGs, wildly important goals. Step 3. For each priority goal, have no more than 3 KPIs. Sometimes a goal only needs 1 measure or KPI. Excellent, that will keep it simple. But you can sometimes need 2 or 3 KPIs or measures for any one goal. For example, when you need more than one stakeholder's perspective on that goal, but no more than 3 KPIs or measures per goal. And ta-da, that's how many KPIs you need right now. If you want to take action on the ideas in this article, here's my suggestion. Very simply, follow those 3 steps to the letter. This is the same approach that I'm going to recommend to one Measure Up subscriber, Michael, who wants to provide some guidance to ensure his managers measure the right things. Michael asks, what questions should I ask business unit managers to help them define the KPIs for their unit? Firstly, what I'd recommend, Michael, is not about what questions you should ask them, but starting with what questions you might need to answer that they're asking you. And one of the most typical questions they're likely to ask you is, what are the overall corporate goals and what do they really mean? So that would be about starting the conversation with your business unit managers by discussing the overarching corporate goals, the high-level goals for the whole business or company, talking about what each of them means in very real, specific, everyday language so that your business unit managers really get it. Then I'd be asking them the question, which of our corporate goals does your business unit most impact? In an energy company, I worked with the procurement team, and or the procurement business unit, if you like, and the question for them was, which of the energy company's corporate goals does the procurement business unit most impact? And the answer was, well, it's that one about cost reduction. Of all the 7 or 8 corporate goals we have, the one we have about cost reduction is the one that we as the procurement business unit can have the most impact on achieving. The next question then would be, what are the 3 areas your business unit could improve that would have the biggest impact? So for our procurement business unit, the 2 of the areas that they could really improve was about reducing procurement costs. And that was about reducing the organization's spend on goods and services. There was a lot of what they called maverick spending going on, where business units were just going out and buying whatever they wanted from whoever they wanted, and there was no control. So therefore, they were often paying much higher prices than they needed to and not taking advantage of bulk discounts. Another important area for the procurement team in terms of the biggest impact they could have on the energy company's corporate goals was improving service delivery to internal business units, which means that while they're trying to reduce costs, they want to make sure that their service delivery to the internal business units doesn't suffer, that, in other words, that they can procure the right goods and services in the right time for the business unit's needs. The next question would be, how can we write these 3 things as performance improvement goals? Now, for the procurement business unit, for their service delivery goal, they wrote, internal business units continue to get access to products and services they need when they need them. Nice and simple, nice and straightforward. No weasel words, no getting hung up on language, not trying to say it in 3 words or less. It's just nice and simple and straightforward. The next thing that I would suggest you do, Michael, is not so much a question to ask your business unit managers, but a task to leave them with, and that would be to design measures for those 3 goals only. The 3 most important performance improvement goals for each business unit manager each need to be measured, and they're the only goals that need to be measured. So get them to design measures for those 3 goals only. In our procurement business unit's example, they measured their service delivery goal with this: the percentage of internal customer orders delivered in full and on time, and they called that DIFOT, which is an acronym, DIFOT, delivery in full on time. Now, the cool thing about taking such a simple approach and asking such straightforward, simple questions, Michael, is that your business unit managers can learn this approach pretty quickly, and they can take exactly the same approach to cascade strategy down to their teams as well. So they would be able to ask each of their teams, how does your team impact our 3 most important business unit goals? Now, if that's enough, I'm pleased and happy, and you can go away and give it a try. But if you'd like a couple of tools just to make it easier for you, there's 2 tools I'll recommend. The first one is about getting clear about the cause-effect linking of goals from that corporate level down to business unit level and then down to team level. And the tool that I recommend for that is the PUMP results map template. And you can read more about that at stacybarr.com/products/ resultsmapping.html. So that's stacybarr.com/products/resultsmapping.html. The second tool I'd recommend is about how to design meaningful measures or KPIs, and it's about the PUMP Measure Design Template. 5 simple steps to make sure you design the most feasible, most meaningful performance measures or KPIs that align very, very tightly with your goals. And the link to read more about the PUMP Measure Design Tool is stacybarr.com/products/measuredesign.html. So that's stacybarr.com/products/measuredesign.html. Hopefully that has set you up well to get your business units measured properly, but not overly measured. It's just as bad as being undermeasured. So good luck with that, Michael. Now, if you have a question that you'd like me to answer for you on this podcast, it's real easy. Just email it to me at measureup@stacybarr.com. And one obstacle that nearly always comes up when you try to get people to measure things is the fear that they will be made to measure something outside their control. So this episode's quick tip might be useful for you. The quick tip is about thinking influence, not control. When we think control, it's thinking about a constraint in a sense. There's kind of not much that we do have complete control over in all truth. Maybe our thoughts, our actions to some extent, but hardly ever do people have complete control over the results they contribute to, particularly when they are a part of an organization, part of a team. Control is a word that tends to make our attention go too easily onto what we can't control. It seems to be so much easier for us to think about what's outside of our control than what's inside of our control. And maybe that is because there's so few things that are totally within our control. Let's take a simple example. A teacher cannot control whether a student passes an exam. Too many other factors that would affect whether a student passes an exam, whether or not the student studies, whether or not the student learned in a way that was appropriate for their learning style, what environmental factors might have been influencing the student's state of mind or emotional state at the time of the exam. A whole lot of things could affect it. A better word to use than control is influence, because it encourages our attention to go toward finding leverage, finding how we can improve our influence, how we can increase our influence. Just like a teacher has influence over the likelihood that a child passes an exam. And as soon as the teacher starts thinking about that, they'll start thinking about all the factors they can impact on in some way that supports the child's ability to pass an exam. The learning style, for example, a really comfortable and encouraging learning environment, being able to offer any one-to-one support or counselling that might be required, getting to know the child, a whole lot of things that could influence the likelihood a child passes an exam. So my challenge to you is to change your language now, use the word influence instead of the word control, and just see what happens to the quality of conversation you have about performance and measurement. Well, just like that, we're at the end of another episode. Remember, you can download these podcasts, you can read the feature articles at measureupblog.com, and you can subscribe to this podcast at iTunes. You just have to search for Measure Up. Well, thanks again for joining me, and until next time, this is Stacey Barr, the Performance Measure Specialist, signing off. Keep measuring what matters and engaging everyone you can to do the same.